Hello, nerds. This is Jesse from Rock Sugar, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Keep it right here.
Where's that swarm? What's that drone? Something's buzzing close to home. It's B-Day, and I'm feeling fine.
Hello, and welcome to episode 88 of Palka, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am your host, TFG, and Mike. Joining me, as always, is Pecan Core Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's hot. It's dang hot. Today is the 88th day of summer, and this means it is the day that the GCRN finally gets back to our new, quote, cartoon review podcast for 2021. Michael, are you ready to jump on the roller coaster of a ride that is the podcast organization without a cool acronym?
Whatever. Maybe. Nobody gets me.
Yeah, you need to not shop at the whatever store.
I'm going to Hot Topic now.
Ooh, they have lots of cool Funko Pops there. Anyway.
I can't be emo around you.
God. No, you can't. Nope. You are the, 18-year-old happy-go-lucky person. Notice I just shaved 30 years off your life.
Oh, I was going to say, you shaved? Oh, my God. That's like a miracle in itself. How'd that happen?
Karen did that the other day. Don't worry about it.
You got this rat's nest in there you had to take care
of? As of today, we have 16 days left of Palka. And today we're going to be talking about B-Day and B-Story. I may somehow interject each of the audio at some point, but we are talking about these two episodes of Phineas and Ferb as if they were one giant episode, because they technically are. Basically, B-Day is the A story, and B-Story is the B story.
If this was one giant episode, it would be like Pulp Fiction, where they kind of jump around chronologically, but it all makes sense in the end.
Hey, at least they don't have 5 seconds later, 25 minutes earlier. Fucking Memento.
Was that it wasn't Memento. Memento was told backwards. This was Pulp Fiction.
What? I know what Pulp Fiction is. That's what I'm saying. Like, at least it isn't Memento. At least it isn't jumping around.
So what's funny is that there's another Pulp Fiction reference in the next episode.
Well, of course there is.
I'll talk about them. But that's not today. Today is all about B-Story.
And B-Day.
And B-Day.
Whatever.
The boys make a giant inflatable wading pool for Mom. Meanwhile, Candace reveals her emo side, and Doofenshmirtz attempts to become ruler of all bees. Okay.
Are you going to read the second plot, too, since we're going to go straight through? Are you going to
break it up? Yeah, I was going to break in the middle, but whatever, we can do that, too, for the bee story.
Ceremony of the Bee Day Festival was awesome!
It's my favorite part of Bee Awareness Day.
My favorite part is the B flat with the F sharp bass at the end of the song. What? It's tradition.
Okay, girls, festivities are over. Let's focus on getting our beekeeping patches. It's the only patch that we've ever tried to get and failed. Remember last year?
You promised to never flash back on that ever again.
Right. You're right.
But still, if we don't succeed today, the two strikes and your out rule kicks in, which means this spot will stay empty on all of our sashes forever.
Chill out, Isabella. We've got this.
Ready, girls?
They're gone!
Gone? The fighting flash forward to potential catastrophe.
Meanwhile, in the other episode, Phineas and Ferb get the wading pool for Linda ready. Isabella and the Fireside Girls attempt to get their beekeeping patches by turning themselves into bees and rescuing the entire bee swarm from the power vacuum that Doofenshmirtz captured them in.
Oh, power vacuum. Meanwhile.
Idiot. Poofenplotz gets rejected by Love Muffin and tries to become queen of the world by stealing and consuming massive amounts of royal jelly. Ew. Look.
You vomit.
Disgusting. So, I'm not a fan of bees.
You know, me neither.
There is well, it's not really an infamous story, but story from my childhood when I used to go to camp. This is somewhere between 1990 and 1992. One of those summers. Oh, God. Stop it. All right. Oh. As of this recording, folks, this is being recorded June 3rd, 2021. We are about 24 hours or so removed from Michael's 48th birthday. So happy birthday, you old bot.
Thanks. You're welcome. Old as dirt.
You're welcome, Ratchet. Now stop it. So at some point during one of these summers, 91 or 92, those three summers, I was going to camp. I'm not an outdoors person. I'm just not.
You got chased by bees?
I tried. Oh, no. This is even worse.
Oh, no.
So,
you know, traumatize our listeners.
Oh, no. It's not. It's not brain surgery bad, so there's that. I mean, I did get through brain surgery, so I'm sure I could survive this, too. But just where it at, it just, which eye was it? Was it this one or was it this one? I don't remember. Anyway, at one point during this, at one of these summer camp things, there used to be this giant slide. Everybody was like, all the counselors were like, there's a bee's net. There's a beehive over there. Don't anybody go down the slide until we get it removed.
Oh, no.
And I was 10 or 11 or 12. I forget which year it was. Somewhere in there. Yeah. But most 10, 11, or 12-year-olds, you tell them not to do something, what's going to happen?
They're going to want self-injury.
They're going to want to do it, right? They're going to want to do whatever you're telling them not to do. Well, I decided to say, screw it, go down the slide myself. And the beehive wasn't anywhere. It wasn't on. It was like under like a part of the slide. It was hidden.
Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't like it was in plain view here. I mean, I didn't have exigent circumstances. I'm not Elliot Stabler. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But it's like, so I go down the slide. As soon as my feet touch the ground, I feel something. I would assume it was my left eye. Right.
Oh my God.
Okay, so feel like I'm feeling right now, even though people can't see this because it's an audio podcast, feeling right under where my left eye opens. Basically, that giant bone right there under your eye. Like, if you go to pull your eye open.
It's called the orbit.
There you go. Whatever it's called. It's a bone. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a bone in your face. Basically, right there, I got stung on the bone under my eyeball.
Oh, my God.
I could not see for like 3 weeks. And I'm already blind as it is. I was born blind. I was born, you know, so it's like, fuck, that's going to make it worse.
Yeah. So, yeah,
I'd rather have pink eye than stung by a bee in the eye.
That's awful.
Yeah. So bees and I don't exactly get along. They are not the bee's knees.
Yeah, I have an irrational fear of bees. And like when I was like four or so, I was playing by a tree stump near our yard, and there was a beehive in it, and they all chased me. So, nowadays, I think the last couple of years, I've been getting better about it. I'm okay around like bees, but wasps, I mean, once I hear buzzing, I have to immediately verify that it's not a wasp.
Yeah.
Wasps are just buttholes with wings.
Yes, they are. Was it a couple of years when we were still in Illinois at the house? I tried killing a wasp with some sort of chemical. It didn't work.
Oh no! Didn't kill it?
No, I didn't kill it. Anyway, but yeah, bee day, bee story. These were fun, even though I'm not a bee person. It was a fun little way to show an adventure with quite literally everybody.
Everyone, yeah.
Yeah, everyone is here.
Yeah. Gary Oldman. Everyone!
Yep.
Well, it's hard to say everyone, but all the Fireside Girls get to talk.
Yep.
Each one has a speaking role this time, and that's not usual.
Nope.
I mean, the cast list must be huge, especially for the second part. Ariel Winter Harry wants her plays a part. She plays Gretchen. She plays like the little Marcy. I think she was already pretty famous for Modern Family at the time this came out.
Probably.
She might have been. Oh no, she must have been like really young then though. And Diamond White from Transformers Rescue Bots.
Yep.
They actually let her sing in Rescue Bots. and well, she's pretty good. But they didn't let her see. I didn't even recognize her voice. If I hadn't seen it on the wiki, I wouldn't have known it was her. But yeah, they all got the talk. They all had speaking roles. They all got union standard.
Is that really the right... Oh, wow.
What?
I got Daphne from Frasier. Wow. So Jane Leaves, who plays the voice of Admiral Acronym.
Yeah.
Jane Leaves, most famously to me anyway, was Daphne on Frasier.
Nice.
Wow.
Cool. I didn't recognize her voice either, but Daphne mm-hmm. from Frasier might have been 20 years ago.
Yeah.
British nanny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whatever.
This is a weird pair of episodes.
Yeah.
This should have all been one episode.
Maybe. I liked how they split it up, though. And I like that they named the second episode B Story. Uh-huh. Because it's literally the B-side story.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't half an hour episode, you'd have the A story, mm-hmm. The alpha story, and you have the B story, which would be the beta story. And what they'd have to mix them together so that, you know, somehow they would tie it in together and all meet up at the end to wrap things up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it was clever that they actually called it the B story.
Mm-hmm.
The title.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's clever.
And that's exactly why episode 88 is entitled The Story of B-Day.
I thought it was just called B-Story.
It is, but I'm saying the podcast, when I release the episode, when I put the episode title, I'm writing it as The Story of B-Day.
That implies that you're clever, too.
Yeah, well, apparently not, because I had to actually explain. You know,
explain it.
Joke is funny if joke. I explain it to you. Jackass.
Sorry, I didn't realize that's what you were going for. That's funny.
Anyway, yes, I. My favorite part in this, and only because I have gotten plenty of rejection letters from things, but honestly, my favorite part was. The rejection letter to Esmeralda Poofenplots from Love Muffin.
Love Muffin. That's funny.
Poofenplots reading her junk mail.
Listen, Bill Fly. This must be my acceptance letter into Love Muffin. Oh, and open up. Dear Esmeralda Poofenplots. Oh, that sounds promising. We regret to inform you that... Oh, reject me, will they?
That's my favorite part from this.
So, you know, she's complaining that it's a boys' club, but we know there are female pharmacists in there.
Yeah. And this letter is so... And it's a letter from Doofenshmirtz, so... I guess he's the leader of Love Muffin? I've never ever thought Doof was the leader of Love Muffin, because every time we are exposed to Love Muffin, it's like everybody else is more like they're I'm not sure of the Love Muffin hierarchy kind of thing. But this letter is just completely Doof is very Doof here. We regret to you that your application for membership has been denied. Based on your past schemes, we have deemed that you're not even close to our standard for admission. Feel free to reapply after you've come up with something really evil. At the very least, get yourself a decent lab coat.
Not a pharmacist.
Yeah, I know. But, like, the problem I have with this is, first of all, we regret to you. That's not how you write that, Doof. And second of all, you ain't really evil, man. Like,
who's talking?
Yeah, I mean, Carl is more evil than you.
Container.
Baljeet is more evil than you. At least Baljeet has the brains to remove the atmosphere from the planet to kill people.
Yeah, that's pretty awful.
Yeah, well.
So Poofenplots, side note here, is voiced by Amanda Plummer.
Yes.
Who is awesome. But the reason I mentioned Pulp Fiction earlier, she was Honey Bunny.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pulp Fiction, she was a completely crazy lady.
And she's a completely crazy lady here.
She's so soft-spoken in this one, though. She's just so... She's like, oh, I'm very monotone, and then, ha, 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 I will be queen! You know, and it's very well voice acted, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just watched Pulp Fiction with my kids recently, because I'm a terrible parent. But, and in fact, I was watching it, and I'm thinking, whatever happened to this lady, this crazy lady? I'm sure I've seen her in stuff before, but it's cool to see that she was voice acting, and voice acting well, in fact.
Yes, very well.
Starting from the beginning.
Yes.
Perry's bee antenna. He's got floppy antennas with bees on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they go well with the bee jetpack.
Mm-hmm.
With the wings and the antenna.
Well, you know they have to stay on model here.
Totally on topic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. I'm not sure if this is... I'm sure it's a running gag, but for this particular, you know, it's a two-episode bit, but they break the fourth wall a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they're commenting on the song, you know, if it's in key or not. Phineas says, I'll tell you after the wipe, you know.
Yeah.
Like that. They actually did it in the second part, too. You know, it's like Isabella just wants to have a flashback, and they're like, no, no flashbacks for you. And then later, Pufin Plot says, you know, pay attention as the camera pans closer, and we cross-dissolve to my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, these are the type of things you see in a screenplay to describe mm-hmm. what's happening on the screen, and yet she's describing what's happening to her.
Right.
It's funny. If you understand it, I don't know how many little kids would catch it, but I just, you know, I'll tell you after the wipe. You know, it's like, oh, well, that's clever because they're cognizant that they're on a TV show and it's like a screenplay thing.
I mean, it isn't like they haven't done this before. I mean,
occasionally.
The last time I remember it was,
oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, a joke about the cliffhanger. Meepless in Seattle. They did it in Meepless in Seattle. Boy, we've been following a long time. Oh, and Doomsmore's like, oh, sure, a joke about the cliffhanger. You know, about the commercial break. Yeah. Yeah.
Feels like it's been about 4 years now.
Yeah.
I like that. I think it's clever. I was just shocked. I was like, there's an awful lot of this happening.
Yes, yes, there is.
Candace discovers she's emo, and she has to dress like an emo teen.
Okay, Stace, I'm done. Just tallying up the score. So, how did you do? Okay, what? You done?
No.
Candace, talk to me.
Heather Magazine says I'm an emo teen. An emo teen, Stacey? I don't even know what that is.
Okay, to the internet. Here we go. Emo, emo, emos believe everyone's against them.
How can you say that to me?
They are highly sensitive and drama queens.
No, I'm not!
You know, as teenage subcultures go, it's not so bad. You just need a new look to match your true teen identity. I'll be right over.
And she's like, whatever. She's Raven now.
I will say that Ashley's acting in this was really, really good as emo Candace.
Emo Candace.
It was actually refreshing because as everyone has heard in season three of Pauka, I'm not Candace's biggest fan. And I was like, ooh, a chance for her to actually act with the character and be different than what we've known her to be. For the past 4 year, 5 year, four, this summer is just way too long.
It's a long summer. But, you know, she's got the dark hair, the dark clothes, mm-hmm. the pencil thin jeans, the black glasses.
Yeah.
And I just love it when she, like, deflates. She's, like, gonna bust her brother, and she's getting ready to be like, mop, 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 and then... her body language just deflates, and she's like, I don't care anymore. It's funny. And on the bright side, now she gets to hang out with Vanessa.
You know, I thought that's where they were going to go with this, and they didn't.
They did not? Well, Vanessa isn't exactly emo. She's more punk.
No, she's not emo. She's more goth. But, like, as soon as the hair dye happened, I was like, holy crap, she could hang out with Vanessa. Because, honestly, emo Candace kind of looks like how Johnny looked. So it's like Vanessa's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I like that. Well, I want to say I liked that B story, but we already have a B story. So technically that's more of a D story. It's like the side story for the A story.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it. The Aromainator. The Aromainator.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce it. Well, however he did. I would avoid anything that would attract bees to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just no. I don't want it.
No.
and the fact that they make references to the previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking about the sorbet machine that turns people into flies that now turns people into bees.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and the fact that, you know, it diverges into the bee story, the B side story. You know, it's and then they refer back to itself again. It's like a Mobius strip of B story.
Which is the C story.
Is it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just saying, we keep saying B story and A story and all kinds of story. Well, apparently the fact that they're referring to themselves has to be the C story, right?
Maybe.
Because, I don't know, man. Like I said, I like these two episodes. I like this one giant episode, whatever you want to call it. Because these episodes are, you know, part of a, according to our lovely friends at the Phineas and Ferb Wiki, are part of a story arc, obviously, kind of thing. And yeah, they're like, you're not going to see B-Day lumped together with Happy New Year or whatever other, like, these two stories, these two episodes go tandem together, side by side, yeah, kind of thing. And that's cool. I like that. I wish that they would have done a few more of those types of things, because, as I said, this feels like one of those giant special things. Like you had said, what was it? Was it Meepless in Seattle or what? Whatever. One of the hour-long episodes, you're like, oh my god, this is like 4 1-hour. I forget. Oh.
Yeah.
Where is Perry or something? I don't know. You had mentioned something in one of the other podcasts about how it was too damn long.
Yeah.
This was not too damn long, but it felt like it was longer than what it was.
Yeah. And they even backtracked over bits of story.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it still just seemed like there was more story here. It's just cleverly written. And there's a lot going on. They even tried to introduce some things that I didn't like.
What didn't you like?
I didn't like that Buford is now bullying Phineas.
Well,
and he's like mocking everything he says, and he's like, wah, 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 wah. And I'm like, you know what? I would have punched him right in the face. And if I was Phineas, I would have invented giant power gloves to punch him in the face. I don't like that, and I especially don't like that everyone's okay with it.
I think everyone's okay with it because we all know that, you know, Phineas is the thumb wrestling champion of the world, and he beat Buford back in season 1. So we've already had the Buford bull, you know, hey, Dinnabell, hey, this, hey, that. We've already had all of that, and they settled that back in season 1 with the thumb wrestling. And he's just, yes, he is making fun of him, and I'm not, don't be making fun of people, folks. Just don't do that. But again, we're so far into the show, it's like.
Yeah, it's almost.
And everybody like agrees with him, like, oh, he totally nailed, like, even Phineas says it. Phineas says, you totally nailed me, Buford. That's exactly what I sound like. But yeah, you're right. It went on like 1 or 2 lines way too long.
Way longer than it needed to be. I did not like it. Yep. It even got more lines than Mr. Tomato. Mr. Tomato has a British accent, so he needs to talk more. Like Phineas. Phineas has a British accent. He needs more than one sentence per episode.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, Mr. Tomato is really Perry the Platypus in disguise, because Mr. Tomato was done by D. Bradley Baker.
Oh, was he?
Yes, he was.
A British accent. Very nice. Yes. He could have done any accent. That guy's so talented.
Yeah.
He could have made one up.
Yeah.
He could have been like a surly squid, and he still would have been unique and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a British tomato on your hand. You know, there are certain reasons to divorce somebody, and that might be like number one. No. And then the other thing that kind of took me by surprise, though, is I knew it was coming. I knew it was going to happen. But Doofenshmirtz gets eaten by bees. And, you know, and he went totally Nicolas Cage. He's like, ah, the bees, not the bees. Ah, they're in my eyes. And full on Wicker Man.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage, that. Everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You know, honestly, I've never seen it either, but I know that scene because, you know, when you're afraid of bees, everyone wants to show you that scene.
I am flashing to, I think it was 1993 or it might have been 1994, the Alicia Silverstone horror type film. It was her alongside, it was actually her alongside, so I think the lead star is your buddy from Princess Bride, Robin Hood himself, Cary Elwes, Crush. It's a movie called Crush, and in this she plays this psychotic teen who is stalking this guy, and she uses a beehive against him. God. I think, if I'm remembering the movie right.
It's awful.
It's awful. This is very awful. What are you going to rate B-Day and B-Story? I'm just going to rate them together, but what are you going to rate them if you're rating them individually?
I'm going to rate them, but I'm not ready to rate them yet. I still got more to talk about.
There's more to talk about. Okay.
I do. We haven't even covered about what happens to the invention.
There was an invention?
They made a giant wading pool for their mom.
Oh, right.
And it had Ducky Momo on it, which was awesome. And then in the end, the bees, well, in the end, it gets splattered by royal jelly, and the bees come and take it away. Everything except for the Ducky Momo pond, which is awesome. But I was thinking of Monty Python and the Holy Grail. What is the carrying weight of an unladen bee swarm? It could grip it by the husk. Carry it. But it's like, how heavy is this thing? Is it just literally just air and it's water in it? Water's heavy.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah, water is very heavy.
Yeah. So apparently one giant wading pool is roughly the carrying weight of an unladen bee swarm.
Oh, well, apparently, yeah.
Yeah, I did not know that, but now we have learned things. And then the second story... mm-hmm. You know, we've already had our Agent P. Now we have Agent Pinky.
Yeah.
Agent Pinky is he's a Chihuahua, not mm-hmm. the cool kind, not the asthma hound Chihuahua, but just a regular Chihuahua with a fedora. But he's got apparently he has his own major monogram, and his major monogram has her own Carl.
Oh, there's your coffee.
Isn't she a find? She comes from an entire family of unpaid interns. Anyway, see if there is anything to Carla's research, Agent Pinky. Admiral Acronym out.
Mm-hmm.
Thank Carla.
Yep.
She's from an entire family of unpaid interns.
That's essentially Carl's sister, probably.
Maybe a cousin.
Something like that.
Maybe a cousin. You gotta think, his family must live in abject poverty.
I don't know, because it...
all unpaid.
Well, yeah, I understand that part, but like, she looks just like Carl, though. Like,
she's very Carlish, except she's got the pigtails.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it makes you wonder if she's like equally evil when she puts on the black leather jacket.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Evil Carla with the pigtails and a black leather jacket. Hot.
Oh, Lord.
That's an episode I would watch.
Well, whatever age Carl is, at least she's going after her college credit, so at least you're not being a pedophile here saying that.
She's clearly, clearly in college. That kid was 18 years old. That's okay in Canada. Da, 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 da. Actually, that's next time. Isabella is a born leader. She is clearly the queen bee of the Fireside Girls.
Of course she is.
Yeah. It's just too bad that nobody under the age of 40 would recognize the pep talk from Animal House.
No.
Did you catch it?
No.
Oh, see, you're well, maybe I should say under the age of 45?
There you go.
Okay. All right. There's a scene in Animal House where it's like pledges from Animal House have been downtrodden by the dean of the school, and their mascot steps up, the late great John Belushi, the brother of James Belushi. James Belushi, who is the greatest surviving Belushi.
But,
John Belushi stands up and he gives this pep talk to his group, and by the time he's done saying the exact same words that Isabella said here, his group is all fired up and they're ready to take down the dean. I just thought it was funny that they did this like almost word for word.
Yeah. I haven't seen Animal House. I haven't seen it in years.
Oh, I haven't either. I watched it when I was younger, but you know, when you're in college, you know, college humor is funny.
I guess. I mean, the last thing I saw that college humor did that was funny was Tetris God, so there's that.
Tetrises, master of blocks, weaver of fate, the time has come for another round.
Yes, how shall we begin, my lord?
L block.
Yes, L block, the perfect first piece.
We stand in awe of your eternal wisdom. Square.
Oh, as you wish, my lord.
Shall he nestle it into the bosom of the L block? Or will he leave it room to grow?
Reverse L block.
As you wish, my lord.
Difficult, my lord, but I believe this mortal can handle it.
T block.
Rather cunning, my lord. If this mortal is wise, he won't... He undershot it.
Squiggly.
My lord.
How dare you question his methods?
T block.
The playing field is random and jagged.
Square.
There is no place for a square, my lord. And it's only the first level.
Squiggly.
You wish to toy with him? To torture him for what?
Reverse squiggly.
The ultimate test of faith.
T-block.
Only a master of dexterity could rotate a T-block in time.
It is done.
Reverse L-block.
We've left the column open for the almighty Tetris.
Oh, another line piece, and his glory will shine upon us all.
Square.
Oh, here it comes.
T-block.
Just one more moment.
T-block.
No, he is punishing this mortal for his hubris.
Reverse squiggly.
Give him something, Lord.
Reverse L-block.
Give him anything.
L-block.
Oh, yes, of course he can use that to plug the gap, but then... Then... The column would be... unusable. Oh.
Line piece.
No.
Line piece.
Lord, you have forsaken us all.
Line piece.
Oh, what a cruel and angry god!
Line piece!
Oh, well, that's the actual college humor, the capital C and the capital Yeah. Everything they do is good. Yeah. Adam Ruins Everything came out of college humor, and I laughed so hard at that show. All right.
Are we ready for ratings?
No, we got to talk about you. How could you not want to talk about the Waggle Dance?
Because nobody wants to talk about the Waggle Dance.
That's the thing is these kids aren't 18. These kids are only 12. So get your mind out of the gutter, Blanchard.
My mind wasn't in the gutter. I specifically said no. Nobody wants to talk about the Waggle Dance.
That's why, because your mind's in the gutter. There's actually a lot of science here. There's a lot of science. They talk about shaking those skirts.
There is no science. There is no scientific method here. No.
It's biology. It's the way that bees communicate. also
they shake their asses at each other. How about they just sting each other instead of stinging people? You know, if all the bees stung each other, the bees would basically murder-suicide themselves.
You might be right.
Yeah.
Actually, bees have a better way of killing each other. I won't get into it, but... Because that's more science.
I don't want to know how you know this.
You don't want to hear the science of it. You just want to hear about the butt-shaking waggle dance.
No, I really don't.
Waggle dance. Waggle
how many times have I said no in the last 10 minutes of this show?
We can waggle dance if you want to. We can leave our friends behind.
I will give this this extended episode a 3.5 out of 5.
Because if they don't waggle dance, and then, you know, but what?
You no.
Oh, my God. All right. First of all, I got to mention, Poof and Plas gets thwarted. And every time we see her, she's coated in glue. And she says, curse you, Pinky the Chihuahua.
Yeah.
Chihuahua. That's how she says it. And then piloted off the Pokey by a pooch. Lastly, this episode gets a 10. It gets 5 for the A side and another 5 for the B side. Because it's just so clever. It's so well done. It's a well-written story that I didn't want to see end. And they all intertwine. And at the very end, it all comes together for a very satisfying ending.
As a whole, on the GCRN 0 to 5 scale for the entire story of B-Day, I give it a 3.5 out of 5. And I only took those points off because I am not a fan of bees in general. I got stung in the eye bone. When I was 10, 11, or 12, so no.
You know what? Nobody dislikes bees more than me, all right? I have an irrational fear of bees. But I still enjoyed the story.
I enjoyed the story.
I knew it was going to be fun in the very beginning when they had a carnival float with bees puking into a beehive. You know, I was like, all right, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong.
Waggle dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind.
3.5 out of 5 on the GCRN scale is good. Issues are certainly prevalent, but so are successes. Typically, there is one specific area of extraordinary achievement or a multitude of quality moments that make the negative aspects relatively easy to accept. The failures are not necessarily glaring and are often a byproduct of design, though the difficulties one encounters hold your enjoyment back from reaching its fullest potential. I love the story. I'm not an insect person. I don't care if it's bees, wasps, carpenter ants, red ants,
sticks.
You know, giant fucking spiders from Arachnophobia. I don't care. I'm not an insect person. So me taking 1.5, almost 2 points off of an, like, this isn't like I gave it a one on the GCR Universal rating scale. Terrible. Has several areas of extreme failure that aggravate you to your inner core. Only one or two areas can be considered an achievement, but those areas have relatively little impact on the overall experience.
You don't have to justify to me. I get it. You know, I just enjoyed the craftsmanship of this episode more than it bothered me that it wasn't a, you know.
I enjoy the craftsmanship of it as well.
Yeah. But
I do not need to be up close and personal with bees. That happened over 30 years ago, and I still have a thing in my eye bone. Can't say that without laughing.
My eye bone.
That's right. There's
a thing in my eye bone.
Yeah.
That's awful. I sympathize, I guess. At least you weren't covered, turned into a statue with glue. Because that's like a recurring thing for her. I can see why they don't bring her back as much, even though has an excellent voice actress. Because, you know, how many storylines can you write where she gets turned into a statue?
I think my favorite part about the whole Agent Pinky and Admiral Akronym, basically the whole other side of Alka, is is seeing
the pink side.
Is seeing the and I'm sorry, her helicopter must have been a very expensive custom job. That helicopter is whoa. Like
it's the Mia copter.
Yeah, it's like stop the presses. I mean, I'd rather have a rod pod than that helicopter.
It essentially was a rod pod. It's like a big sort big of ship of her head.
Weird.
It was almost as bad as like the Thanos copter. It's so a helicopter that says Thanos across the front of it.
It's a helicopter that every time the blades turn, it snaps its fingers. And 500,000 more people lose their lives or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, that is awful. So Poofenplotz has been in two episodes, to my knowledge, right off the top of my head.
Okay.
Without looking at the wiki. And both of these episodes, she is trying to be more beautiful, or she's... Like, the last episode was with the old abandoned amusement park, and she was looking for stiff beauty and whatever.
Oh, yeah, that was the Temple of Sap.
Yes, Temple of Sap, that's right.
At least that was the last time every Fireside Girl had a speaking role.
Hey, you know what?
Coincidence, I think not.
I think so. No, it's not I think not. I think so. you know, and I like her. She's kind of cool-ish. She's not, you know, as bad as some of the other scientists that are in Love Muffin that don't really get a lot of... a lot of speaking lines are like, they'll just be like, oh, Clucky the chicken, you're foiling my plot again. No, don't. Like, okay, you're kind of boring.
Yeah. I forget what episode it was, but it was like they were having an awards show and they had all like they were making up characters as they went, and they were all wearing lab coats. And it was like, well, this guy looks like he'd be a cool villain. We don't know his name. We don't know anything about him. But, you know, we know that somewhere there's an animal with a fedora who's got his number.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I like Poofenplotz. And I think that this episode, you know, kind of gave her a little more meat to her story. You know, she wants to be part of Love Muffin. Yeah. She's kind of aggravated, you know, she's not sure why she's you know, not being chosen to be in there, because she thinks she's being pretty evil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Not really that evil.
Not terribly evil, I guess. I mean, she wants to be the queen bee.
The queen! And I shall not be dark, but beautiful, like the night and the day. And all shall love me and despair.
And I might have a grotesquely large abdomen for laying eggs, but I can live with that.
Even if it means having a freakishly large abdomen that spits out eggs, which, you know, was very aliens.
Interesting.
Another reference that was not in the wiki.
No.
The way that it was. Not even a stretch. That was totally out of aliens.
So Esmeralda Poofenplotz has multiple appearances in Phineas and Ferb. Her debut, as you said, Temple of Sap. Mm-hmm. She has a non-speaking cameo in Roller Coaster the Musical, because she's one of the dancing people. Obviously B story. She was the Bridge of Comprehension lady in Excaliferb.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh.
Technically. And,
but, yeah. Well, okay, what you and your
none of those characters were technically the
Whatever. She's still there.
She's still
and there. She will be appearing non-speaking cameo. Damn it. She will appear again in Phineas and Ferb, the movie, Candace Against the Universe. But it's a non-speaking role. Damn it.
So she shows up somewhere, blink and you'll miss her.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Oh well. Anyway.
Yeah, but it's funny that, you know, we make the Pulp Fiction analogy here because of the way they jump back and forth between time, basically, you know. And yet, here's a Pulp Fiction alum doing a voice. No Sam Jackson, sadly, because, oh my God, I don't know what we do with a Sam Jackson cameo here.
Hey, you know what? I don't know. It's something we will have to figure out once we get there, but they missed out on a huge crossover that they could have done later in this season. When we get to Mission Marvel.
Oh yeah.
They could have had a Nick Fury eye patch off. Or I should say a Nick Fury eye patch off, because I have always wanted, ever since Sam became Nick Fury in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I have always wanted him and David Hasselhoff's Nick Fury from the 1990 TV movie Nick Fury and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to be in the same room together as Nick Fury's from different universes.
Hell, what rock did he crawl out from under?
Well, I was just getting to that. You're looking at the new Director General of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Talk about falling upwards, huh?
About damn time.
Anyway, that's
technically just they could have done that, yes.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That is exactly. It's not like Hasselhoff is a stranger to kids' TV shows.
No. If he can be in SpongeBob, he can be in anything.
I was going to say, I think he's done a couple SpongeBobs.
Hmm?
As like himself, which is funny.
Absolutely. All right, are you ready to rate this finally?
I did. I gave it a 10.
Wow.
5 plus 5 equals 10. You know what? We used to really like double episodes, and it was like they'd always do something cool, and occasionally they would intertwine the scenes and such like they did today.
Right.
The Pulp Fiction model. But I don't know. I really like this one. I was going to say, but not the next one. But we'll get into that tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll get into that tomorrow.
12 years in the making. After 6 top 100 countdowns, the Geekcast Radio Network, along with 33 participants, are launching our top 100 Transformers characters countdown. August 8th, 2021. 35 years after Transformers the movie was released. Don't be the only con left out of this one, folks. Because, really, whether you're a Predacon or a Decepticon, you want to be at the top. Right, Megatron?
Yes.
Tune in to Geekcast Radio Network's Top 100 Transformers Characters Countdown from August 8th through September 17th, 2021. 6 parts, 6 Constructicons. Learn who will fall and where they will fall, because one always falls. Transform and transcend here with us on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Why nobody love Waspinator?
All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. We are done with the story of B-Day. Thank you for joining us here on Palka. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. If you'd like to comment on this episode, just put the episode number in the subject line. I was going to say description, but subject line. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, the home where our files exist, Spreaker. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. I forgot to check. Follow us on Twitter. I am at TFG and Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. What is your Twitter?
Pecan CT Michael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the next episode of Phineas and Ferb Season 4, which is also a double episode, Part 1 and 2 of Sidetracked. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Why do we always end with the B flat with the F sharp bass? It's not even in key.
Because the F sharp bass bangs, baby.
Bang. You're supposed to say it's tradition.
That too. It's tradition, damn it.
It bangs traditionally, baby.
There you go.
But wait, there's more.
Was it 1993? Go away, Astro Train. Nobody needs you now, you dumb Decepticon. Again, I will edit all out of the.
Oh no! Now it's Transformers related. You have to leave it in.
Say it again.
Aren't you a little young to be a podcaster?
No, I'm not. Aren't you a little old to be watching this cartoon show?
Yes, I am. It's good to see the nation's senior citizens taking an interest in cartooning.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
There's not really any more. That's about it.
But, whatever.